listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographers Series 2025. Artistic Direction, Brianna O'Mara and Chris Haring. The series is co-funded by the European Union in the frame of Lifelong Burning, Futures Lost and Found. Today's guest is Adam Russell-Jones, whose work Release the Hounds was invited to this year's Attention series. Adam told me about his transition from being a ballet dancer in big companies to making his own work as an independent choreographer, about the attraction as well as the danger of dancing until complete exhaustion, how the collaboration with musician Moritz Haas evolved, and what a drunk stranger on the U8 in Berlin has to do with his piece. My name is Almut Kreser, and it was my pleasure to have a chat with Adam. Hello and welcome, Adam Russell-Jones. We are here at Volkstheater. Some words about you, some words about what you did before. You are a professional trained ballet dancer, and you started with this on a very early age. And you finished your education at the Royal Ballet School in London. Mm-hmm. And you did not just finish it, but you finished it as the most outstanding graduate. And you started a ballet career from there. And you did this for a couple of years. You danced for the opera in Stuttgart and for the opera in Hannover and also for the NDT 2, the Nederlands Dans Theater in Den Haag, right? Yeah. And from there, at some point, you decided something has to change. You start your own career now. And this is the first solo piece that you created. And I'm very interested in this transition from being this super hyped ballet dancer, super stressful, I imagine, super successful. And and then finding your place and creating something by yourself.
Being this company dancer to now being a person or being a maker or being an independent artist has been a little bit tumultuous, but it's felt very, very natural. And I'm at this place now where I feel maybe the most satisfied in my career than I ever have. It's a very, very different pace of life. And it's also a very different set of struggles. There are definitely struggles, but what I love about it is the independence that I have that I didn't really feel when I was in any of these companies. They were great companies, great dancers, great choreographers, but I lacked independence. The transition was kind of done for me in a way. After my time in Hannover, I had like a pretty severe burnout. This was all like post-COVID, going back to the theater. But I was at a level of such extreme stress and exhaustion that my body just told me that I needed to stop. So I took actually a year and a half off where I didn't dance at all. I didn't work at all. I just recovered. And then when I slowly started coming back to dance, or I had this moment where I really remember I still have something left that I would like to work on. And I started freelancing, doing project to project. And then, I don't know, somehow naturally, I remember why. I started making my own work because at some point I wasn't working. And some friends of mine were just like, well, why don't you just try making something, just something for yourself. We can organize a small event and you can just present a solo. So I started doing that. I made a 20-minute solo back in 2023 called Silly Gotta Sleep. And that was kind of the catalyst that really pushed me towards maybe I can keep doing this. Maybe I can push myself to make work. So I had that solo, and then I had this other short solo where this is where I met Moritz Haas, who did the music for Release the Hounds. Mm. That was also, again, 15 minutes. And again, I really enjoyed the process of being in the studio, of making, of developing a concept, actually diving into my own ideas. And then the application for Tanztage came around, and I had this idea for Release the Hounds, which also this form of application, it really pushed me to not just think physically about the work, but also conceptually about the work. Like, how do I write about my own work? How do I apply for things? How do I put down in words what it is that I want to do or express without already having the work there?
I imagine that you very easily fall into some robot mode when you dance for someone else, and then it must be quite scary and refreshing at the same time to actually think about it all by yourself.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I've always had this, like, a mind that I see details and I watch for details. And with theater and with dance, whatever process I'm in or whatever it is that I'm watching, I'm looking for details. I'm looking for design. I'm looking for, I don't know, how the sound and how the light pulls together for the work. And I was always kind of doing that even as a dancer. And maybe, I mean, I have also this kind of critical mind. Sometimes it's overly critical. It's also overly self-critical, which is something that I'm dealing with. But it's also, in some ways, it's a tool, because I want to pick things apart to understand how things work. And that's why it also feels very natural to begin making my own work, is because I enjoy this eye for detail. I enjoy this obsession with theater, of understanding what it is makes, like, what makes a good work, or what just makes a work in general, how we put it together. And now, working as, like, an independent artist, it's like, oh, now I can, it's like a whole new set of challenges of, like, what it means to produce theater. Like, how does it work? I'm kind of endlessly fascinated by it.
Your piece, Release the Hounds, which was invited to the Attention series, is a solo. And apart from you, on an absolutely empty stage, there is an elaborated soundscape accompanying you. It was made by Moritz Haas. And I was wondering how the two of you found each other and how you worked together. I guess he was involved in the process of the making from an early stage, right?
I reached out to him through Instagram. We'd met at a mutual friend's album launch in Amsterdam, and he was playing a DJ set there. And I'd actually been a big fan of his DJ persona, Europa, for a while. Like, always loved his references. I find his playing, like, super, super intelligent and really takes you on, like, a full experience when you listen to him play. So we met at this launch, and I introduced myself, just like, I'm kind of a fan. And then when this short solo came around, I reached out to him again, like, hey, we met in Amsterdam. I was wondering if you would be interested to edit a track for me for this, which he did. And I was very happy with what he had produced, but that was very much an instant of being like, I want this from you. There was no kind of, like, collaboration. But then when I applied for Tanztage and I needed a sound designer, my first thought was like, oh, I could ask Moritz, maybe he would be interested in doing, like, a full score, which he was very, very into. And also, somehow I had this sense from him that I could, like, as a person who'd been listening to him for, like, a few years, his DJ sets, I was like, I think I can trust his references, his taste, his sensitivity with music. Mm-hmm. And then the process of putting together the score was, it's like we were living or, like, producing two separate pieces that were running parallel to each other. So we would meet for conversations and have meetings and kind of discuss concept and narrative of the piece. And I would send him references of what I was working with in the studio. But I really allowed him the space to make something that also felt like his, and his understanding of the concept and his understanding of what it was that I was trying to portray. And I think he did really an amazing job. I think he understood the work in some way, maybe, I don't know, with music, I find music like super, super important. And it's almost as if he had like an understanding of the work before I did. It's like he got there first. It became like this driving force. And I kept saying like the music has to drive. There needs to be something that pushes this work forward. And he really got that. And he got there first, especially with this last track where there's this mashup between Kate Bush, which I also was really unsure about using because I love this song, Hounds of Love. But then he flipped it and like mashed up with this Hercules track, and it becomes so twisted and so distorted. And like, I was so intimidated by this as an ending to the work. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a lot. Like, it suddenly becomes this like very twisted, nightmarish kind of sound that I wasn't sure if that's how I wanted to end it. But then it's like, no, that's the ending. That's how it is. It's that it all becomes so distorted and so warped. And that was him. That's how he saw the piece. Mm. And as much as I think maybe even at some point I was like, is this too much? Like how, like, I don't know, this is how it should end. But it's like, no, this is it. This is how it goes.
And there was not only music in this sound frame that he created, right? Mm. Was there some horse racing also? Or did it just sound like it from someone not knowing it?
Yeah, we used, we have like a lot of different sound bites and samples from like TV ads from the 80s, some, also a lot of songs, like pop songs are also in there. But then we used the commentator from Dog Racing, which is like Release the Hounds. It's like a reference also to letting the dogs race. Who let the dogs out?
Yeah, dog races make more sense in this piece than horse races, of course, yeah. There are two references you named for the piece. One was They Shoot Horses, Don't They? It's a movie about the dance marathons that took place during the Great Depression in the US. So these were really big shows. One could win a great amount of money. So people would dance for days until total exhaustion. And the book Rave by Ranald Goetz, which tells stories about people celebrating the excessive nightlife, which also is quite destructive. So both of these references, they have something very passionate and at the same time quite destructive. Anyways, how did you translate these inspirations into choreography?
I think, I mean, I work mainly with, I have certain like images in my head of kind of starting points, end points. I usually have like an A and a B, some kind of destination and a starting point, but I wouldn't really know how to get there. So I would like begin with putting myself in this position or in a certain image and then trying to access how the character would move, how the character would react. So a lot, I mean, the choreography it's score-based. It's pretty much all improvised. I have certain movement references and tasks that I have, but on the whole, it's completely improvised. And a lot of it comes back to questioning just what the character would do, how I want the character to feel, and how the character would react to the sound, to the floor, to the light in the most natural, organic way. I remember I had this moment during the development of the piece in December in Berlin. And I remember I'd been kind of struggling with like, who is this person? What is this character? Who am I trying to depict? Who am I trying to become? And I was riding home on the U8 back to where I live in Kreuzberg after rehearsal one day, and I was like pretty wiped and I had this in my head, and then I looked up and I just saw this person, and to me they were like the most beautiful person at that moment. They were young, like shaved head, visibly a little bit drunk. They had this look of being tipsy and on the edge, like really, really on the edge. Like there's something very heartbreaking and beautiful about seeing them. And I was watching this person for a while and I just thought, that's who it is. It's this person who is just riding through Berlin, a little bit drunk, a little bit high, very tired. And the expression on their face was just something that really stuck with me. I was like, this is the choreography. Like, this is the person. So I think in terms of like developing choreography, I find it very hard to think of steps. I find it really hard to really place things. But the way I work is with feeling and trying to understand a human experience beyond my own. That's also like an amazing challenge that I can give myself, is to, I don't know, become that person that I saw on the U-Bahn one day, and the piece is about them.
It also seems, also with these references you have, that the dance is very much a way to survive, or some way to help you through a crisis. Mm. Something, is that something that you saw as well, that it is for you, or that you a reference in that sense?
Mm. Yeah, I think like a part of the description, I say like it's a piece about dancing through crisis. And then I guess crisis can mean many, many things. It can be like a personal crisis, but it's also about crisis of like what is happening like outside of myself. And I think it works in both ways. Like, what do we do in times of like political crisis, of what we are witnessing at the moment anyway in Gaza, what is happening in Ukraine? Like, on a global level, we are witnessing such destruction, such unfathomable destruction. And this piece is a reflection of like what I can do as a dancer in this time, what people have been doing throughout other periods of crisis. Is that they dance. Like, a lot of what I was questioning was like, what does my practice bring at the moment as a dancer? Like, what is it that I can actually do? And it is also like, it's by no means the antidote. It absolutely does not fix anything, but it's just, it somehow soothes my own dealing with these crises, but then also a personal crisis of my own relationship with dance. Yeah,
dancing does not fix the world, but it still sort of fixes something inside someone watching, yeah, as same as doing, I guess. That's, I mean, we have to find ways to stay sane, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And if this is what it gives us, then we'll take it, I guess. All right, this is getting really dark now.
Sorry.
Yeah, not your fault. That's not your fault at all. But the reason we are also doing this interview right now is because you are one of the Attention Artists of this year, and the Attention Young Choreographer Series is a teamwork by the festival Impulse Dance and the network Lifelong Burning. Because they invite Impulse Dance invites the pieces, and Lifelong Burning invites the artists to spend more time at the festival, to actually do a residency here. As far as I remember, you don't have too much time, but you are in Vienna for a bit longer than you had to be here for your piece, right? So how did you use the time? Could you use it? Could you develop something new, work on something new, or was it mainly for researching, or did you get the chance to actually dive into the festival and do workshops or watch a lot of pieces? Tell me, how was your time in Vienna? Or how is it?
I have to say, the more I come to Vienna, the more I like it. And this time is also, it proves that again. I really, really like being here. Also in the summer, it's like, it feels very fresh. It's nice. And also, like, this is my first time at the festival. and it's very buzzy. I also have a few friends who are here from Berlin, so it's very nice to connect with so many, also so many dancers at once. It's something really, really special. I have to say I was quite square with my residency. I was mainly rehearsing because the last time I performed the work was in January, and in terms of stamina, it is so demanding. I don't know why I made something so, so hard. So I needed to like spend the week sort of training myself to like get back up to the level where it's like, okay, I can actually get through this work. So mainly that was my residency. I would have loved to have like dived more into the workshops, because the program, there's so much that I would have loved to be a part of, but I think physically and mentally wouldn't be able to commit in a way that I could really, really be present. And then other than that, it's amazing being able to see so many shows and such a broad variety of performance that the festival offers. And I'm very glad to be here for like a couple more days. I have today off and I'm going to go ride the Ferris wheel at Prater. Then tomorrow my last show, and then Wednesday I also have off to rest a bit in the city, and then I leave Thursday.
Yeah, it depends a lot. I feel like if you arrive here for your residency before you have your show, or if you first do your show, get it done, and then have the residency. Mm-hmm. Of course you can't enter and spend the residency time with the same headspace. Whether it's before or after, totally clear. All right. We're sitting here beginning of August, but when we release this podcast, it's going to be November-ish, I guess. Is there anything already to tell about what you will be doing then? Yeah?
Yeah. Actually, in November, I'll be showing the work at the South Bank Centre in London, which is a pretty big deal for me. I haven't performed in the UK since I left 11 years ago.
Wow.
Like not once since being a professional dancer, I've never performed in the UK. And to go
all these companies,
never
New York and somewhere else, but
yeah, like all over the world, but just never the UK.
Wow.
I think the year that I joined the Stuttgart Ballet, They had just completed a tour at Sadler's Wells, and that's where I auditioned. But yeah, in November I'll be having like a kind of a homecoming, and to do it with my own work is really, it's really a cherry on top. My whole family is coming. A whole cohort from Cardiff will be in London.
Oh wow, that's exciting!
Yeah,
yeah. Nice. And usually I end with this question, but there's one still pending in my head that popped up when I was watching you on stage, and it now came again during this talk that we just had. When there was this moment on stage where you started to shuffle, you became a different person for me for a second. From one second to the other, I saw this private person, just a guy somewhere dancing, to forget the world around him, to get some relief, to get a break, to have fun. And that's an important task of dance, I'd say. And with all this history you told me about your personal dancing, I was wondering if you could gain this back, if this is still something, a place where you can go for yourself. Can you access this dancing just for your personal joy and relief?
Absolutely. I think in some way I dance every day, even if it's just like a small like jig around my flat. It's like it's still some way that I'm dancing every day, and I mean, I'm very much a club person. I am a rave person. I love going to these spaces and I love dancing, and it's a different. It's not like two completely different relationships. They're kind of like, they're like non-identical twins, I guess. It's like one is the one that how I make money and I express myself, and the other one is just how I express myself and like become connected with other people around me, with myself, understanding just this pleasure of movement. But I absolutely find ways to dance for myself completely. Yeah, you will find me at the club dancing for myself.
Great. That's a very nice word for the end, I'd say. You can find me at the club. Thank you very much, Adam.
Well, thank you.
And have fun with dancing.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographers series. To never miss a new episode, follow us on Deezer, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. For more artist conversations, visit our websites lifelongburning.eu and impulsdance.com.